CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Iran, the suspect nuclear weapons program of Iran, the predation practiced routinely by the Islamic Republic of Iran, now leads to floating terror bases. I welcome Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. What do they look like, Malcolm, and where are they? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, this is one of a number of measures that have been taken and revealed recently about how much Iran is investing in its military programs, especially in the Gulf, challenging the other Gulf partners, so that while they may be warming up relations with Saudi Arabia, which is really very questionable, and the UAE and the Omani visit, the fact is that they're also building up their military capacity. And what they have done is now taken these large vessels, some from tens of millions to hundreds of millions of tons, to outfit them with all sorts of offensive equipment, including aircraft and missiles. So they are really four terror bases far from the Iranian border. It gives them reach. They've sailed into the Gulf of Aden, and this is part of their maritime terrorism. And they are active in the Persian Gulf and the Arabian Sea. So it's believed that they want to expand the operations to the Indian Ocean, then the Red Sea and the Mediterranean. As we saw with the report we kept making about their ability to circumnavigate the world to go to Venezuela and get back, we see this as another stage of building up their naval capacity, as an IRGC in particular has been working on this to be able to counter the challenges in the region. And they're waging a multi-front war against the U.S., against the West, and with all of their terrorist allies. This gives them an additional capacity.
Malcolm, is this something that we've seen before? You mentioned that armada that sailed around the world. I remember the fast attack boats, but I don't remember any concerted blue water navy. Is this fresh?
Yes, this is very different. And the defense minister of Israel revealed some of this recently in a speech, but it's been talked about for a while. And there are pictures of some of these floating bases, as they call them. And the they obviously have made them visible, trying to get the message out, I guess, to deter and to say that they have this capacity. But I think that this is a different level and very different than the fast ships, which are used still to harass shipping in the Gulf area and been used against American and other shipping. And as you know, they seized some boats. The Iranians seized, again, two more boats. And as a result, we saw the UAE pull out of the coordinated naval unit command in the Gulf, which is, I think, very disturbing and worrisome development.
Oman, a small city, a small country in the Gulf. But right now, I believe, Malcolm, we have a new interpretation of Oman. Spending time in Tehran, talking to Tehran, to what end?
So Oman's leader has visited to Iran the first time since he took power 2 years ago. And I think that we're seeing Oman, which has served as a backdoor channel for Iran for a long time, to the West and to, for instance, negotiations with Egypt. And we see reports that the Iranian leaders are saying they're open to new relationships with Egypt as they reach out, I think in part out of desperation. But we see that the Omanis now are reported to be talking to the Iranians for the U.S. We know Brett McGurk was in Oman recently. He is the special Middle East, the senior Middle East advisor. And perhaps to do some sort of a deal to see if the Iranians are prepared to hold back their nuclear program in exchange for what they really want, which is the money from that is being held, sanctions money, in Iraq, about $10 billion, and in Korea, about $7 billion. And to see, this is not, they're saying, the JCPOA. This is a parallel effort. And they're saying there's no discussion, officials from the U.S., of an interim deal or sanctions relief, but perhaps this kind of a deal where some of the funds would be released in exchange for Iranian compliance, which is so unlikely. We just saw that the IEA closed two of its investigations, very sadly, about the center, the development centers that were uncovered by Israel. We know that they found traces of enriched uranium. We know that they're up to 83.7% and have broken all records in terms of the amounts that they have now, and are challenging the West in this regard. Supposedly have 114 kilograms of highly enriched uranium as of this past month, which is a increase of more than 25%. And it's enough for at least two nuclear weapons. And I cite this because these are all pieces of the same puzzle. Now we're going to see what happens at the IAEA. And because they closed inquiry over the traces of uranium that were found at Iran's underground Fordow nuclear plant, and supposedly the investigation of traces found at Marivan. So we don't know whether they're collapsing in the face of Iran. Iran is acting in more and more aggressive ways. We see it in Syria against the presence of U.S. troops. Documents have been released. And John, this is what's really interesting, is that Iranian sources are releasing documents, you know, anti-government sources, but they seem to be authentic. Vast amounts of information that are coming out. And these leaked documents show a campaign to build popular resistance and attacks against Americans and Eastern and Northeastern Syria. We know the Russians, Iranians, and Syrians were meeting over this last November. And it's one of several tranches of documents that have revealed amazing things about what's going on within the government and the opposition that is growing.
IAEA, Malcolm, the meeting is June 5th. I believe what you're saying is the IAEA is going to back off and not enforce the facts that Iran is not in compliance. Is that what we expect to happen?
I'm afraid that that is what is going to happen. We see the signs of it. The fact that they closed these investigations, even though Israel provided ample documentation coming from their own sources, from Iranian sources as well, about what they have. I think that this is a meeting that everybody's going to be watching very closely. We know that the U.S. and Iran, there have been multiple reports about them negotiating release of funds in some way or another. There are many denials coming from U.S. sources, so we shouldn't get ahead of it. But I think that the Iranians are under increasing pressure, even from the Taliban. If you see the hot fire across the Afghan border, and that's been escalating, they have escalated their attacks on Azerbaijan, accusing Azerbaijan of all sorts of things and talking about building up their capacity against it. And we see that there have been cyber attacks and other things. And I think that the IAEA meeting will be something we'll watch very closely.
Why did the UAE drop out of Central Command's task force exercise?
We don't know fully, but the very fact that they did it, supposedly it was a response to what they feel was the failure to respond to the attacks and the seizing of ships in the Gulf from and the, again, I think a message to be sent to the U.S. and to our allies that they're not going to sit by while, you know, their interests are jeopardized. I think that this is a complicated move, and we will have to learn much more yet about it and how it manifests itself. But it's certainly an undermining of the cooperation that has been growing, at least appeared to be growing, for quite some time. The speculation, I mean, there's a lot of speculation about it, but I think we have to look at the actions that are being taken on the ground, which sends very strong messages. And, you know, this is not the time to see any kind of division between the forces that have been allied in the Gulf.
Some positive news, Malcolm, we need it here. Israel and Japan working together, how?
It's remarkable how much relationships between the two countries has expanded in many areas of cooperation, business, science, technology, other areas. The, you know, as has been true with India, I think they look to Israel, and they say this, that Israel has the technology and is a resource for them that, that is of extreme value. I've seen increasing efforts to enhance the cooperation that exists right now. I think that this is a positive sign, and it shows the expanding relationship that Israel has, and it links then to the Abraham Accords, so that you go to the Persian Gulf, from the Persian Gulf to the Far East. And, you know, they say that when they buy the F-35s from the United States, in practice, they're buying a lot of technology from Israel. So why not also deal directly with them?
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.